Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to an Irreverent Media podcast. Go to irreverent.fm for more content from our friends.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
Hi, I'm Kevin. And
we're
your favorite ants. We finally nailed it.
We did it. Okay, we're two best friends who have a lot in common and a lot on our mind.
And each week we're going to tell you what is on said minds, pop culture, Christian subculture, everything in between. And also we answer some questions from listeners, people like you.
And like your favorite ants, we've got lots of opinions and a few drinks in us.
Because it's more fun that way, right? So let's get into it. This is a new episode of Your Favorite Ants. Oh, there she is, ready, coming to you live in 3, 2, 1. Everyone, it's Sarah Louisa Jane Heath.
Hi.
Love it. How do you feel?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Just
I feel good. I feel really good. I was trying to get a better cord because remember we were having all the problems with my thing last week?
Yes.
So
in and out, in and out, in and out.
But I couldn't. Right. But I think we're okay now, right?
Yeah, you sound great.
I mean, I'm on my earbuds, but.
I mean, you know what? I think for now, like, I would always go over, like, consistency of connection over quality, always. Because, like, even at... Actually, you know what? There's something to that. Sometimes the quality of your connection might go down. But the consistency, if it's there, you know, you can always go up. Or something. Also, I can't hear you now. You're gone from me.
Let's not do that.
There you are. Now I can hear you. Yes, I can.
Here I am. So I'm still in Bend, Oregon due to a snowpocalypse. Working on my Airstream, we've got new floors in, well, the subfloor, not the like pretty floor, but there are no.
What's the difference? Because holes. I'm sure there are people like me who don't know exactly what that means.
So a subfloor is just like the, kind of the board underneath your nice floors. So it's the floor that makes the stability. So it's like often it's like a 4x, you know, whatever, 2x4. It's not a 2x4. It's just like a 48 inches by 96 inches to be exact. It's a thin board and you put, you're going to put your laminate or whatever it is on top of that, but it builds the stability of her. So she's had a floor with dents and holes in her the entire like last 10 years. So this is the first time she has a consistent floor in her. So that's what we've been doing the last couple of days. I know. And I was up here speaking at a church and that was wonderful. But just getting ready to drive back down to SoCal.
Wow.
But doing
wow.
really well.
Let me tell you
I
what.
I just met with someone.
I can't handle that drive. It's such a long drive.
It is. It's 12 hours, which is why today we drank Holiday Punch by Three Birds.
Oh, you know what I want? I want a beer. Hold, please. Sarah.
Everybody hold.
Yeah.
Tell us how you're
doing. Everybody hold on. Just hold on. Here we come. Just keep holding.
Hold on. Okay. So happy New Year, friend. We are so glad to have you here.
Cause I'm gonna make it through. That song's a fucking jam. I don't care who you are.
So how the hell are you?
Well, first of all, I would like to introduce the show. Welcome to Your Favorite Ants, officially, now that Sarah is here. I am Bernadette Peters. Actually, you know what? No. I am Sydney Porter. God rest his soul.
Sydney Portier.
Yeah. What did I just say? Porter? God, kill me. How disrespectful am I?
I'll be Betty White.
Coming to you live from beyond the grave, everyone. Cheers.
On the grave, barely making it. It's a Friday. We made it, friends. Yeah. What a week.
Yeah, I would say
first week of 2022.
Yeah, it was. What was interesting was like I barely had any calls all week, and all the calls I did have got rescheduled to today for some reason. Ooh. And so I had the first call. I just told my agent, "I'm like, listen, I'm not ready to talk. I don't have anything new." Like I thought, because it's like, hey, let's talk after the new year. Like I was like, yeah, I'll get some work done between, you know, the last week of Christmas and the first week of the new. No, I actually did get a lot of work done, but not enough to have like a substantial meeting with someone. So I'm just like, let's not waste time, you know?
But I do love that you have a book agent. That's exciting.
Praise God. So yeah, it's been a lot of just working on the proposal this week. My brain has been thinking and thinking and thinking about how to like say this stuff in a way where one of my friends, Melissa, told me when writing, just like, stop giving like, she's like, in reality, nobody really wants the crust of a pie. It's just there to hold the filling. Give them the jam. Just give me the jam. I want a whole thing of jam.
I love the crust.
Well, then you're great, but I don't know. I don't know about you, Sarah. I don't know. So yeah, I would say I'd give myself 10 out of 10 for the most. I'm feeling good. What about you? What are you feeling? How is things, et cetera?
Things are good. I think having the Airstream have a floor in it has felt really good. I met today and I shared with you, I'm part of the coaching, like I'm in school to become a coach. So I'm in like a graduate program at a university and it's a Christian university. And I kind of have some feelings around that and it feels a little odd. So I've been a little unsure about my classmates. And today I met up with two of them who happen to live here in Bend and they're amazing. Like they were surprisingly, they seemed cool, but I was like, eh.
Is a lot of people seem cool. Like you just said, yeah, right. they seem cool. And then you get, it's like, I thought that the people who I was leading a Bible study, exactly. Like the people I was leading Bible study with back in the day, they were the coolest people. And I said, yeah, so I'm gay. Is that a problem? I was like, well, we don't know how we land on it. Bitch, you know. If you don't know, you know. If you don't know, you know.
That is the best way to say it. But they ended up being like, I literally was like, I want to hang out with them longer. And so I was running from the restaurant because I thought it was going to be like an hour. And it was like a little bit longer. And I want to hang out with them again. They were so cool as a couple.
What a treat. What a dream. It's so nice to meet new friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
yeah, it is.
That's what I'm hoping for. This evening, I'm gathering with some of the homosexuals to watch Drag Race. Yeah,
homosexuals.
The homosexuals, TM. We're getting together to celebrate our favorite pastime, our Super Bowl, our football.
Our weekly Super Bowl.
It literally is the Super Bowl every week. It's that exciting. Drag Race season 14 is premiering tonight on VH1. Not on Paramount Plus because, of course, they want to get the most dollars. So we found someone who has cable. So we're going to go over there. Going to be there with some...
Friends with Benefits has a whole different meaning during the streaming years.
I wish it had the regular meaning of it during the streaming years, if we're being honest, because I realized recently I haven't had sex since October, man. It's a long time. And you know, as a slut, like this is as the Blanche Devereaux of this group.
Of our friend group. Absolutely.
It's just
as the Aunt Blanche that you truly are.
I just really like there has been no balm in Gilead to heal my sin sick soul, if you know what I'm saying.
Gilead is dry.
I have not crossed over any river Jordan. I have not waded in anybody's water. I have not been touched by the hem of his garment.
Or anyone.
You know, none of these things have happened for me. I just want to say before we go any farther, if you listen live, welcome to the party. If you don't listen,
we're so happy to have you.
Yeah, we're having a good time. We're going back to a different time in a couple of weeks. So just like gear up for that. Everything's changing forever and always.
Back to our old time.
What was it? Like, this is actually our old time. So it's going to be back to our other old time. Double old time.
Oh, gosh.
No, this is our double old time technically?
Yeah, this was our first time, and then we went to Thursday so more people could join us, but then your girl went into school.
Ugh, getting a fucking choosing an education over a podcast that isn't paying your bills? You. Just kidding.
I know. Why am I so selfish?
I know. Anyways, I wanted to say hi to this little buddy, Ben.
I love it. Fellow crust lover. Ben, oh, welcome.
Crust lover. Anyways, if you're here live and you want to chat along with the show, please feel free to go ahead. We'll display the chat on the thing because we love having a conversation with us while you go. And also, tell us where you're joining us from. Are you joining us on?
Yes.
Are you joining us on your phone in a bathroom somewhere and listening in your AirPods?
Are you at work? Be honest.
Yeah. Are you streaming us on the Twitch app while you're also gaming? Actually, I can see it. No one's looking at us on Twitch. Maybe we should get into like streaming. Like we should play like video games while we do it to up our game. We could become streamers.
Have you ever played video games with me?
No.
I just get stuck in a corner like every time. I'm terrible at video games.
Well, I don't think, I mean, like you can't be any worse than me. I mean, like what about Mario Party? You ever played Mario Party?
Yeah, that's the one that my niece and nephew are like, hey, can you just hand us your controller? We'll take care of this from here.
Listen, you need to like not allow them to take your power like that. How are you ever going to get better? How are you ever going to vanquish thine enemies? Oh, Cortland, yes. Right. Also,
Cortland!
I'm a big fan of Cortland Coffee, BTW. And you should go listen to Cortland's podcast and as well as he does this really cool Twitter space called Deconstruction Coffee Hour with his co-host at The Pursuing Life. Her regular non-user name escapes me right now. But they're super, super dope. Please go follow them all over the place.
They are great.
Tippy is so mad. It's so cold, so she can't go outside right now. She's whiny. Have we covered how we doing?
Her name is Megan.
Perfect.
I think we've covered how we're doing. I would love to hop into some of the stuff we've got. I'm also just checking because I put out this whole thing asking questions today. So I might. Oh, I do have some. So
perfection. So yeah, let's just get into our pop culture segment of the week.
Or called, have you
heard? Let's just give it a different title every week. We'll just call it the pop culture segment. It's a black fly in my Chardonnay. That's what this one is about. And I will say black fly in my Chardonnay.
Black fly
in Chardonnay. The black fly in my Chardonnay today is the passing of Sidney Poitier. God rest his soul. If you don't know who that is, one of the first black acting legends in American culture, a phenom.
First to get an Oscar.
Yeah. Oh, so truly just a magnificent, magnanimous human. So rest in power, beloved. And that's all I got to say legend. About that. But what do you got? You added a few things going on in there. I don't think I've caught up with a lot of stuff, but my head's been, I've been building furniture.
You're okay. And, ooh, that's right up my alley.
Don't be impressed. It's just the shit that's like IKEA level bullshit. But like, I've got patio furniture.
I know, but I'm into it. Okay, so one of the things I wanted to talk a little bit about is Kanye West. Can we talk about Ye?
We can always talk about Ye. People have very strong opinions about him. I used to have a strong opinion of him, and now, meh. Anyways, what has happened with our friend?
So they went on a date with a model.
Love
it's all over the news
them.
This morning, except they were doing it to make a splash. So hired photographers to do a photo shoot of them on the date. Like it was their second time ever hanging out. And he hired a bunch of photographers. Here's how I feel about it. I'll be honest. Kanye West makes me nervous in the way Michael Jackson makes me nervous. I think they're mentally ill people that we take advantage of as a culture and community. He has clearly shown that he has mental illness, and yet we continue to like his ex-wife is like, I love him. Also, he's really mentally ill and I couldn't stay in it. Mm-hmm. And we still are like, cool, cool, cool. Let's like not, I don't know, Kevin. I don't know. I just feel very like the idea that you would go on a date with someone, meanwhile saying, but I still hope it works out with me and my wife.
Yeah.
Like, who is this girl that's going on a date with him?
Somebody who wants to go on a date with Kanye West and who wants to be in a headline because, I mean, who would, it's the fame monster in many ways.
Yeah.
I am of the same mind. I think that especially I have a beef with like white evangelicals who really like took advantage of his mental health and also his proclivity for faith, which I find quite beautiful.
Right.
I mean, I haven't listened to his stuff in a while because when your public persona like dips in, like I'm sorry, homie was hanging out with Donald Trump and caving for a lot of stuff, like caving for a lot of Republican nonsense. And right. Regardless of his mental health issues, like when you cause harm to other people, that's when I'm just like, I can't be bothered with you now. And I also think that like, you know, it's exactly as you say, like I won't say culture takes advantage of him. I feel like he's just like culture feeds a wound that he, what it'll say appears to be a fairly large like mental health issue. And like, I also know, like I have friends of mine
babies,
who like,
there's babies.
Yeah. And I've got friends of mine like who like really love Kanye, love his music, think he's a genius thing. And I'm like,
right.
Have you heard him in an interview on The Breakfast Club? Have you heard him like, you know, talking about issues of race in a way that's coherent and helpful? And I'll also say that the people who stan him the most are white folks. And I'm just saying it there. That's a sign. That's a sign. Mm-hmm. So God bless. You know what? Let's pray. We need to pray for Kanye. Everyone pray for Kanye West. Put him on your prayer list today.
Pray for Kanye. I just feel like all of this was performative because we've all been through breakups. I cannot imagine.
I'm just kidding.
My most recent painful one, I knew that he was with someone else. That's painful and hard. I can't imagine if it was splashed all over the media. And that's what Kanye is going through, right? Like his ex-wife being in relationship with the guy from Saturday Night Live. What's his name?
Pete Davidson,
who looks a little bit like he looks like Beetlejuice, but that's fine.
Here's the deal with like Pete Davidson. I'm just like, I'm not saying
he's attractive in a weird way.
He's attractive in the way a douchebag is attractive.
Oh, is that it?
Oh, 100. He's got like one of those things where I'm sure he's not a douchebag, but I will say like, he brushes up against it real. He brushes up against that, and that's what it is. Because like again,
he dry humps douchebaggery.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And like you know, like I feel like if I hung out with him, I would probably have a different thing. But it's just like, he scratches that bad boy itch. Whatever. I don't know what kind of bad boy, but it's just like.
Like, but you know it's bad. You're not sure what it is even. There's no evidence that this is actually a bad boy, but you just feel like...
No, it's like he's like kind of like... He's like a spicy boy, you know?
Yes.
This episode is now called Pete Davidson is a spicy boy. But like, you know, he's kind of spicy and like he looks peculiar and he's funny. And let me tell you what, nothing will make me want to drop my draws faster than a good joke.
Oh.
Except for money.
Yeah. Really? Money over hilarity?
So, well, it depends on how much money.
Okay. So there's like a chart.
Yeah, you can, like, the richer you are, the less funny you have to be. I mean, that's just a fact of life. I mean, look at me.
Really
look at you. Look at you and me. Like...
We have to be really, really fucking funny.
Yeah. Like we're out here on the podcast stage, out here in the world, out here on the Patreons, like, you know, tap dancing for our supper pretty much. I'm just kidding.
We still need to post our live one because it was one of my favorite episodes and we never posted it.
Which one? Oh, from
at Wild Goose.
Yeah, maybe we'll put a bonus episode out soon. We should do that. We should do that.
Because that was really fun. That
this
was,
is also, I feel like you and also I a reason love why a crowd. We need to
we
do
love a crowd.
Also another reason why we need to do a live show. And I'm trying to talk to Josh and Adrian about everyone. This is why you should, if you're listening to this now or later, just flood Josh and Adrian's inbox. We need to do a podcast tour. I think we need to get the gang together. I think we need to go to just like the cities that we all live in. So that way we already have connections. We don't have to do much. And also we just get to visit each other in each other's cities.
And then like, people would love it. We can do short episodes. Like everyone can do just like little short episodes.
Yeah, a little 30-minute. Actually, you know, like 30-minute episodes that actually all bleed into each other. And it's all just like, it's actually just like, it's just, we do two hours of content. But like, we just like, you know, like break it up into 30-minute things and then we put part one, part two, part three, part four on different podcasts.
And we have to tell Blake that we're going to cut out for the 2 hours of content. We have to cut out Blake's silence when Blake is really thinking.
I mean, but like,
I love Blake so much.
I do. He's truly
That's like Blake Chastain from Exvangelical.
Yeah.
Just to let you guys
know. While we're on the subject, if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, please do that on all of your social media platform or your podcast platforms, and also subscribe to Making Spaces. Please subscribe to A Tiny Revolution and subscribe to all the other shows. Oh, let me tell you what, Ben just said something. Everyone's an artist until the rent is due. I think that can also to apply to the art of comedy. I was seeing that on TikTok, I think, going around where people were talking about just like, how so much of the creation of something, even like something like this for you and me, like how we have the space, like we have an hour on a Friday to sit down and, you know, just bullshit around.
Right.
And in some way this is contributing
and
to
every week surprise that other people show up.
Yeah. And other people are kind of fueling this in many ways. And that we also, how many people want to do that, but at the end of the day, they're wondering how they're, again, how they're going to pay rent. Right. It's just very interesting to see, like, yeah. Anyways, let's not get dark. Let's get back to the topic at hand, because otherwise...
I wanted to talk about... Go.
No, I was just going to say, let's get back to the topic at hand.
Well, the next topic at hand is not a light topic. So coronavirus...
Never still heard around, of her. Guys. Just kidding.
Never heard of her. I mean, she's got new names. Literally, she has changed her name more than.
Who's
changed her name a lot?
P. Diddy.
More than Prince or P. Diddy.
Yeah, P. Diddy really changed his name. It was P. Diddy, then P. Diddy Combs, Sean Puff. Combs, Puff Daddy Puff Combs. Daddy Always Puff Daddy. Names. And now he got to P. Diddy by the. I think he's still P. Diddy, right now. Sean P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Cone Daddy, Daddy Diddy.
Coronavirus. We are on Omicron, which sounds to me like some sort of transformer. But I was reading in the Canadian news, which I thought was people were sort of critiquing. I was sitting with some folks who are a little bit, I'll call them vaccination hesitant. And they, I was not sitting with them in person because I will not do that. But they were saying that, in Canada, a lot of people are vaccinated, but they're still having shut everything down. Here's why. Friends, the vaccination does not mean that you will not get the virus necessarily. It means that if you get it, you're a lot less likely to get it badly, like a lot less likely. So you're a lot less likely to ruin hospital stays, but you may still stay in the hospital. Which means beds are taken up. So in Canada, they have really strict bed and nurse ratios. And so we don't have those here because, you know, capitalism when it comes to medicine. And so the reason that a lot of things are shutting down is the hospitals are getting overwhelmed because the hospitals have less of a capacity. Mm-hmm. Why do I say all that? Because stop trying to give an excuse for not getting vaccination because people are still going to the hospital. Correct, they are. And we're going to continue this cycle until enough of us stand up, get vaccinated, and make it where it our poor healthcare providers, like all of my friends here who are exhausted and tired and so frustrated of this bullshit, friends. Mm-hmm. They are so tired. of this bullshit. Mm-hmm. So,
and I know that if you're listening to our podcast, we're probably preaching to the choir.
We are.
What I found, this is where I found a little bit of solace in a lot of this, is recognizing at the heart of this for me, like when I really like in my highest self, which of course when I'm smoking it's all the time. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Call me out.
Sorry.
But I recognize that the people who are unwilling to get vaccinated, which are they are the same people who stormed the Capitol, are the same people who believe that the election was a hoax, are a victim of deliberate misinformation. And as much as it pains me to kind of admit on like the, I don't want to place blame. I'm just like, because people are where they are for any number of reasons. Like, and it, the thing is that the racist machine works. The racist machine has been working. And I can no longer, at least for me, I can no longer remain happy and peaceful when my rage continues to be against people who are actively being lied to. And
right.
And I, again, I know that's like, it's, I'm not saying other people don't have to be upset or you're not allowed to be rageful or you're not allowed to be pissed off. Like I have all of those feelings as well. And also like where I come to at the end of it is that's how I am dealing with it. And I can't, it's just like, I'm like, I can't be responsible anymore. Like, that's really the thing is like, I feel like so many of us feel the weight of this responsibility. And I'm going to say like the weight of the responsibility is on our national government who is failing us. If we're being honest, we live in a country where people are uninsured. And so even if they survive COVID, they are going to have bills that they can't pay. You know, they're going to have, there's a red cardinal in my yard and that's a sign for me. So I'm like, hey, I see you, Holy Ghost.
What is the sign of?
It's just that like, hey, pay attention. This is important. And so whenever a red cardinal shows up, I'm just like, so yeah, that's just, you know, it's like, I don't even make comments about it that much on the internet anymore because it's just like the people who follow me know where I stand and know where I want to do it. And it's just like.
And our work is for them. And our work is not for people who, that's not the case, right? Mm-hmm.
If they want it to be like, you know, I'll say first and foremost, my work is for myself. I enjoy it this much.
I love that.
And also, yeah. So sorry. That's that. What do you think about that? I know I just threw a whole bunch of shit on you.
No, I think you're right. I think Sierra, bring Sierra's comment up there. Compassion is so hard on some days. So Oregon just established crisis standards of care. Sierra lives in Oregon. It is... it's so hard when the day, like you want to have grace. I think that's the thing, right? Like we want to make space and have grace for people until it's actively harming other people. But then we have to understand too, that everybody is being fed a different narrative. I mean, from all the algorithms that like make sure that we only hear what we want to hear, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like it really is the, it's stacked against us ever overcoming and bridging the gaps. So we've got to do that work on a very local level. And you know, I talk about this all the time. You can't change things on a macro level unless you're capable of engaging it on a micro level, right? Talking to the people, your person that you say, hey, this, I don't want to talk to you about this, but I know that there's a potential. And I think the only way people change, you know, the Christian church doesn't always get things right, but this idea of relationship being the only way people change, it's unfortunately true.
Yeah, I don't think that came originally from the church, though. So,
it didn't originally come from the church. But you know, people are all the time like relationship. You know,
let me tell you,
relationship that changes people.
Let me tell you what I say, that God is not religion nor relationship. God is merely reality. Think about it. It's a reality that you can either choose to just accept or not.
I actually quoted you this week. So I'm speaking at an event for pastors about embodiment. And the reason being is that the guys that were originally presenting about holistic embodiment, we're talking about their bodies as if their bodies were something in the other room. And as someone who has moved through eating disorders and done a lot of therapy and counseling around that, I'll tell you that there's nothing easier for me than to feel as though my body is something separate from me and something that should be punished, right? Like, it's this very easy. So I was having this whole conversation and I had this thing where I was like speaking to the person who's running this, this big conference that we're doing. And I was like, yeah, I just need to stop you there because you're acting like God is that something that's something way over there. And I was like, and as my friend Kevin constantly is reminding me, God is in me and through me, and I am not separate from the divine, and neither are you. And like scripture, if you want to go use scripture, it's very clear about that. And he was
it's clear.
Yeah, that's true. So then they started talking about embodiment and also like this idea as a very present and like very in touch thing. So I'm really excited. So I get to have an hour and a half with a bunch of evangelical pastors talking about why the way they talk about bodies as dangerous is problematic, not just for themselves, but for others.
That I think is like the biggest, that right there is what I'm very interested in seeing for like, well, like I can't remember where I heard it, but it was basically, I think it was like one of the woo-woo people out there, maybe wrong. No, it was Sadhguru. Sadhguru said, you want people to care about the earth. You want people to care about the trees and the environment, but they don't even care about their own bodies. They don't even care about the peace that they feel within themselves. How are you going to get them to care about other people when they don't even care about how they feel? And that's the thing, is that I would say the majority of people are so scared and they're just afraid it's going to get worse. And so they just cling to, you know, something that even though it's painful is telling, like saying, this is the way, this is salvation, this is salvation. And so I just have such pity on those people. That's what I have.
But also like empathy and compassion. I've been staying with my nieces who you met. They're like my, they're one of my best friend's children, call me Aunt Sarah. But we've been talking about the word empathy because one of them is 8 and having a really tough time understanding her little sister who just turned 5, why she has to care about how she feels about something.
Let me tell you what, that age is hard.
She literally said the other day, oh, it's so hard. And my friend has raised them where they've learned to like express themselves, which is great and wonderful, but really hard right now. Cause she literally said to my friend the other day, my friend was like, you got to get ready for school. And she's like, but we have a delay. She's like, yeah, but mommy still has to go to work. So I need you to get ready because I don't want to be, I have a call and I can't be checking in on you getting ready while I have a call. And she goes, that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem.
I've got to say,
she's like, I'm so,
I respect that. I respect that. I'm just like, it is, but you have to guarantee by the time it is time for you to go that you will be ready. Can you give that to me? Because if not, we're going to have a different conversation. That's all I would do.
Right.
Oh God. So if I had a kid, listen, I don't want a baby. I want like a 6 or 7 year old who talks like that. Let me raise them from then on. I would shape the shit out of that kid.
My friend might be bringing this child to you. No, she loves her daughter and her daughter's great. But she literally said, I don't understand why your work affects my life. And she was like, in every way, my work affects your life because you couldn't have the life you have if I didn't work the way I do. It was the funniest conversation. And so her and I went for a hike. Well, her daughter changed her gears. And we came back totally different kid. But it was that whole idea of like learning empathy. And she's been great ever since her mom kind of said, look, I'm going to give you space. But here was the wisest thing. I'm not giving parenting advice, but watching my friends who are parents here, they're like ninjas. She said, hey, you and I aren't like, we're kind of out of flow right now. How about if we hug each other? Would you like a hug right now? And let's breathe together. And she hugged her and they breathed together. She's like, I'm going to go for a hike. And then when I come back, I'm going to let you make the decisions that you think are the best to make. That girl fed her sister breakfast. She got dressed. She was ready to go to school. But before that, she was all ass and sass. She was just like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Because it's like we're all learning to set boundaries, right?
Yeah. And I think like, you know, what's interesting is just like that is how that child believed she needed to set her boundary. You know, that's how she believed, I will only be heard if I talk this way. And like,
and
you know,
to hear it differently.
Yeah. And whether or not like, it's just like, well, where did they learn that from? Doesn't really matter, does it? I'm just like,
Ben brought up a really good point. There's so much baked in by the time they're 6 or 7. The worst is having to reprogram your own bad programming.
Yeah.
I often have heard counseling or therapy described as reparenting yourself.
Mm-hmm. This is also something, you know, another plug for one of our friends, at least Dr. Tina Schemmer-Sellers. Dr. Tina Schemmer-Sellers.
Schemmer-Sellers. Dr. Tina, as we call her.
Yeah, Dr. Tina, sex therapist, parenting, badass, wrote a book called Shameless Parenting, which is literally a guide for like what is developmentally appropriate to talk to your children about, like around like, you know, behaviors, like both like just like social mm-hmm. behaviors and also sexual behaviors and like sexual development, things that you can talk about, things and how to talk about them. And basically pointing back to the fact that just like when your kid does something and it sets you off, when it's literally just them being a kid, that's your shame being activated. That's your trigger being activated.
And it's information, right? You always talk about something being information.
Yeah.
We so often immediately go to crisis instead of, this is information. I felt really uncomfortable in this space. Why did I feel really uncomfortable mm-hmm. in this space?
Or my kid did something really, really weird and it caused me to be so upset. Why did it cause me to have this large reaction when it's literally my right. kid just spilled something? Like, for example,
what's the worry behind the worry?
Yeah. That's something that happened in my family. Like I would spill things. My dad would go off on me, which is also the reason I still have like fucking like weird things mm-hmm. around dropping shit. And I just feel stupid.
No, I've seen you have a moment when I know that there's shame in the room that isn't in the room currently. Mm. Like when you spill something, when you're cooking or something doesn't go right, I can almost see young Kevin. Now you catch yourself very quickly and you redirect the child in you. But I think there is that thing where we're like, and I have the same thing. When I misplace something, because as a child, not knowing I was ADHD, I lost mittens, hats. And my parents constantly said to me, if you would just be consistent. And my parents were doing the best they could to parent. They're great parents. Mm-hmm. But they were constantly saying like, why are you showing up so great over here and not great over here? Little did they know, because I'm ADHD. And I literally, to show up over here, my brain is not able to be also over there.
Listen, Jesus might have been able to appear to 500 people at once, but I am not Houdini.
No, but I will like think of 500 things at once, and because I literally have an ADHD.
And you brain. Know what? I will follow Jesus 500 miles and I will follow him 500 more just to be the good Christian who would walk 1,000 miles.
Five. Yes. Beautiful. Do you want to get to some questions?
Yeah, I do. Things I would love to bring into the new year. If you've got a question, please send it to askyourfavoriteaunts@gmail.com. We may read them aloud on the air. Everything is anonymous.
Confidential.
And we will answer your questions on the air. It can be everything deconstruction, family related, dating related, drug related, mental health related, clergy, you know, ministry related.
Makeup related, skincare related. We've got them all.
Yeah. And going forward in the future, like what I would love to do, and this is like obviously like, you know, or having a planning meeting on the air. What I would love to do is like maybe
let's welcome to us.
Yeah. Let's do like maybe like we'll pick out for like for February, we're gonna do a series of shows where we're let's talk about sex and let's get Tina on the line and let's get like some other, you know,
let's just
some other sex.
Manifest births. That. February is about relationships and sex.
Bitch.
Because it's Valentine's Day.
Listen, your favorite aunts are going to get saucy and sexy. So get your questions in around sex and relationships and love and fucking shit. I don't know why I said fuck in shit again.
Sorry. I don't know either. I will say this. The questions that I have today are all about New Year's. So it feels like January is all about like new habits, new movements. So in January, ask us any questions you might have about starting new plans. Mm-hmm. What does it look like? What are practices that we have?
Yeah.
The person asked, what is something that you're adding or subtracting from your both of your lives Ooh. In 2022?
I've got both and. Okay. Let me think.
Okay, you go first.
Do you know?
Or do you want?
No, you go
first. I do. So for me, adding, it's kind of I always like to think of things as like a invitation. Like I feel like I've been invited into something. So the something that I'm adding is that, I, as we know, am a runner who has something called plantar fasciitis because I bitch about it all the time. And I
my
went
favorite
to
thing
a
about
specialist.
You, TBH.
Is that I bitch about my plantar fasciitis all the time.
I'm just like, the bitch got a plantar. a plantar fascia.
Her fasciitis is plantard. So I went to a doctor who said to me, yeah, you have plantar fasciitis and it's chronic. So guess what you have to do every day? Yoga and stretch.
Bitch.
And as someone whose brain does not prefer the slow movement of yoga, I just want to get in, get going, which makes sense, especially with like all my eating disorder stuff and my feelings about that my body needs to be punished for it to be exercised. Mm-hmm. I'm on the seventh day of doing yoga daily.
Are you doing yoga with Adrienne?
And I am right now. I missed one day, both my friend and I, but I had done a yoga movement in the morning, just not with her. But I'm going to do the 30 days of that. So I've added that. And it's hard, only because it's slow and it requires me to just really get in touch with my, body.
That's the thing about Adrienne's flows is that like, they're so accessible, but they feel so, I'm like, am I doing anything? And then, like, oh man, that's what I like. For some people, it's not accessible, and I get it. So I would also say, if something like yoga with Adrienne is not accessible, I would suggest the underbelly yoga with Jessamine Stanley. I also have, I also work on her app, and she is a fat, black, queer, also non-monogamous yoga teacher, and her shit is super accessible and delicious, and like, you know, she doesn't, you know, she does, she looks like a different kind of delicious body. Anyways.
Well, that's funny. Great. I love Adrienne because she'll just start singing like random, like she definitely has an ADHD brain.
Oh, 100%.
So I've been doing that and that's been a good addition. I also started just being really mindful of my finances and like really doing like, cause I avoided them because they make me uncomfortable and I'm not great about that. So I've added that as well. Mm-hmm. Subtracting. I don't have anything. So I want you to go first and I'll see if I can think of anything.
Well, first of all, I don't understand why anybody does. That's not true. I understand why people do a lot of things. But like when people, I feel like when people do fasting, they see it as a punishment. You know, or like, right. So like if they're doing dry January, it's a punishment. It's like, oh, I drank too much before. And so I gotta totally cut it off.
Or it's a binge. So they could binge it before because they know they're cutting it out in January. And that makes
sense. And then, at the end, they're just going to go right back to it. But really like fasting from anything as a spiritual practice, I think is a beautiful thing. And I just, you know, I'm not one to deprive myself of pleasure. And that's just kind of a thing for myself.
I think that's shocking for everyone to hear that.
You're absolutely. I so beat myself up all the time. And that's the thing is.
Actually you do, but your healthiest moments are when you walk away from that. You can be really hard on yourself. You can.
Do I?
Every now and then.
Of course, every now and then. Who is
this? And when you are that way. I've told you this before as a dear friend of yours, when you are that way, I love to see you quickly repair. This is my niece Joy. She just turned 5.
Happy birthday to you. Yeah.
They're singing to you. Say hi.
Hi.
Hey.
They can't hear you. Can I come out in a little bit? We'll play.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you need something?
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to say bye. We're picking up Sissy.
Okay, go pick up Sissy. I'll see you later.
What a darling. Things. I think. Well, like I haven't really added. What have I added? I don't think I've really added anything. I have. I'm doing the yoga with Adrienne 30 day thing. Usually, I was just doing it a couple times a week, but.
What?
Oh yeah, I'm on day 5 though. I'm behind, so I'm just gonna go at my own pace. But I truly enjoyed just getting back into that little stretchy stretch, especially after like being away from a practice for a week or so. I am trying to I want to find like a queerer gym in town, because like I've been going to this one gym for a while. And it's fine. It's just so painfully straight. And
talk a little bit. We talked a little bit about this offline. What does that mean by painfully straight? What is painfully straight about a gym? Because that might be confusing to some people.
Painfully straight is like the like the music. I'm like, why are we listening to this like Nickelback, like, you know, washed up BS? It
sounds like painfully white.
Yes, painfully white, painfully straight. Just like, you know, very bro-y, and that's fine because that is like the environment. I knew what I was getting myself into in some ways. And now I'm realizing that just like it doesn't feed my soul. And also like, and this is maybe this is just my perception, but the people I look around and I feel like some people are there punishing themselves rather than like truly engaging in the joy of their body. Because when I'm there, like I'm having such a fun time figuring out what I can do. But all the other people, like this one person next to me was just like, oh God, I wish this was over. I'm like, huh? I mean, like, I get it, but also
there- Can I ask the people who are listening? I want to hear, what do you guys do for, if whether it's movement, embodiment, whatever it might be, what are something that you like enjoy?
Yeah. And for me, like,
cause I think so many people are doing exercises they don't enjoy.
And also I think there's something weird. Someone pointed this out to me that in American culture, exercise from a very young age, from elementary school, is equated with punishment. And so think about that.
Give me 5 push-ups.
Drop and give me 50. You know, go run a lap. You know, you're going to have to do, you know, quote, what they call suicides. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm just like, from like, it's never encouraged. I was like, hey, we're going to like enjoy what it feels to like run at our own. Like if I, from like a little, like I like running now. And if someone had told me the proper way, like don't run any faster than you can breathe. Like that's it. That's the whole fucking trick to running.
It is.
How fucking stupid is that?
And eventually you'll be able to go faster.
Yes. And like, it's so wild to me. I'm just like, you know, I can run a couple miles like without stopping, granted, like, but just like, I'm doing it in like, you know, like probably close to 18 minutes because like, that's my pace. Who cares? Because that's mine.
But if you enjoy it.
Exactly. And so that's the thing. I wish I felt that at my gym. So it's just, I'm just curious. I need to investigate my feelings a little bit more to see if I'm like projecting some stuff or like, but so that's one part of it. I will say the thing I'm not really subtracting anything. I mean, I'm just like, I mean, like, I feel like, cause again, like my year, like I don't run on a calendar year. I run on a lunar year. So.
Oh, talk more about that.
Oh, my new year started back in October. The witch's new year. Samhain.
Oh, I didn't
which
know.
Is also the, which is also technically the beginning of the liturgical calendar. So just like for me, my shit starts like I start in like for me, like the beginning of my year is really like top of November, energetically speaking. That's okay. When like so like right now I feel like I'm in the third month of a cycle.
And the moon. What's happening with the moon? It's a new moon.
Right now, it was a new moon on the second. It'll be a full moon on the sixth. No, the 16th. Yes, next full moon is on the 16th.
I just want to check out. People are saying the things that they do that they love is someone genuinely loves jogging. Me too. That's Ben again. Like 12-mile pace is perfect. Great thinking space. I agree. That's why I bitch about being injured. Ultimate Frisbee, hiking, yoga, going to the batting cages and snowshoeing. Those are fun. And then yoga is where I get to see what my body can really do. And it soothes my nervous system. That has been the thing. I'll be honest. I go to the mat begrudgingly. And I'm not saying that if something like it's good for me and not punishing, but I go to the mat.
There is like, a mess of birds in my yard. Like I'm talking like a whole flock of these giant ass blackbirds are just in my yard searching for food, apparently, which I think, I hope is good. I hope they get whatever they need, but like, it's just so wild. It was like, wow, nature.
Nature.
Tippy is mad as hell. looking at these birds. They're very pretty, though. Sorry,
hey, we're getting ready to be on an hour. No, you're doing great. Is there any question that you had? Because the other questions, I don't think they apply to what we're talking about. Do you have any questions from anyone?
I do not, but I do want to share my vision board.
Oh, good, because we're going to talk about it this week. So perfect. Yes,
so here we are.
I love it.
So I'm gonna I'll zoom in on
next week.
Yeah, you bring yours in next week. Let me go to. So here we are. As you can see over here, we have this big fat phrase, unbearable compassion, because that is exactly what I'm interested in this year. A year of unbearable compassion, where I just love myself so fucking fiercely. I love this phrase, magical work for magical pay.
Love that.
Sydney, Australia, the lover's card, a lot of lovers theme going on. I want to find a nice man or a man type person to date.
I love that, a man type person.
Yeah.
I love it.
Tarot card, crystals everywhere. I would like a new Mac. So I want that. Oh. I want some kind of camper van situation.
Excuse me. Oh, you know, I'm into that.
I want an electric vehicle. I want to rest a lot. I want a lot of these cute outfits that I have on here.
Rompers.
Yeah. Rompers and dresses. I really like, I am actually very inspired by Jonathan Van Ness, and I would really like to embody more of this delicious genderqueer, like fabulosity. And I used to hate using that word or a derivative of the word fabulous because it made me feel like a faggot. But now I fully embrace the fact that I am indeed one. So no big deal. I would love to get on the Out 100, like top 100, like influencers of shit. I'd like to.
I don't know what that is.
Out 100. Oh, it's just like, you know how there's always like those like 50 over 50. It's that, but gay. You know?
Mm. Oh, Out 100. I get it.
Yeah. It's a magazine.
So I am so excited to make my vision board. Can I ask you, how did you make yours? Was that in person and you scanned it, or did you cut those things out digitally?
Oh, yeah. I just used Canva. You just put something in there, and then you click background remover, and then...
Just a little tip, friends.
I will
be making mine that way.
Yeah, I'm just like, because I don't have magazines, and I don't care to... use paper. I mean, like, it's good if you're a tactile person, you want to do that, that's great. I'm not that girl. And also, I don't want to go buy a bunch of magazines just to cut them up. That, to me, I'm not going to use the majority of that paper. So to me, it feels like not good for me.
Wasteful.
I don't want to say wasteful. I just don't think it feels good. Because
well, I am so excited to be going into 2022 this year. Both of us have got a lot of things launching. It's exciting. It's a lot of work. Mm. A lot of changes. Anything you want to pitch before we close out?
I would just like to say for all of you friends out there, for both of us, because like Sarah's getting ready to launch her Patreon. I've got my Patreon community. And something I am very excited about is I'm starting to plan out a retreat. We're going for summertime. I actually really, you never went there. One of the places I'm trying to do is actually in Hot Springs. It's on Airbnb. It's called the Wheel of Bliss. If you Google it on Airbnb, Google it on Airbnb. It's called the Wheel of Bliss. I went there for one of my friend's weddings. It was for Micah's wedding right before Wild Goose. And it's just a big house. You can sleep like 13 people. You can campground outside. And if we bring our own sound equipment and music, we can literally just throw ourselves a mini festival out there. So,
you know, I'm in it. I'm into it.
So I'm just saying that like we need to just vision it. Dirty Rotten Church Camp.
Vision. I love it. I'm into it. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, friends, lovers. Oh, wait. Do you have anything that you need to promote?
Nope. This week, my Patreon will go live by the end of this week. because I want to start making spaces again. The podcast, my personal podcast that had a co-host for a while, and now it's just going to be me, which is, she's great.
It's going to be me.
But I'm hiring a great editor. I'm excited about that. Mm. My new podcast, Revcovery, is coming out. We have been in post-production for a little while, so I think it's going to be really good. Selecting some fun music, all that. So I'm excited about that. And that's all I have to promote, really. Join us, follow us. Please like, subscribe, comment, tell your friends about it. Mark, we're so glad you're here. We got a new Deconstructing Christian here. Just got out of land in the worship team.
Listen, let me tell you what.
So we're glad to have you here.
If you ever want to come to my church and do worship, when we meet in person again, we're on a break from meeting in person. My God. I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's the smart and healthy thing to do, but my God, I'm not going to lie. I hate doing Zoom church.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah. I know.
Anyways, sorry to end it on a bummer. Wait, before we go, what's your advice for the week? Since we have time, we used to dole out good.
Let's get back to that.
What do you advise this week? What's your advice for our friends
this week? My really, I think, great advice is to pay attention to your day. Notice when you are most. Like when you feel like you can be most productive and work in that space instead of trying to shove. And if you can, shove all your work into, I feel like so many ways we keep trying to like fit our lives into different, like, this is when I need to do this. This is when I need to do this. So chart out your, this week, just notice, just spend some time noticing. So for me, I always was trying to work at a certain time. So I started getting up at 6:30 every morning and working out because that works for me. And I realized, I just feel like my advice for you is pay attention to your own rhythms and don't try to just use someone else's.
Yeah. Ooh, shit. I do have something else I need to promote before I give my advice.
No.
Tarot school. You want to learn how to read tarot cards? Right. You want to learn how to read them in Comunidad? You want to get it for just two payments of $77? Well, you can. So go to the link in my bio, wherever you're listening or hearing this. 52 people have signed up. I'm fucking blown away. I'm very excited. It's 7 weeks of live workshops where I'm going to take you from tarot basic to tarot bad bitch in 7 weeks. But it's really, really cool. You get to practice with other people. It is one of the ways I found my grounding. So please come hang out with us at that. You can go to at the Kevin Garcia and just click the link in my bio and sign up there. My advice for the week is,
Auntie Kevin, what you got?
Even if you are not ready for the day, it cannot always be night.
Oh.
It's from TikTok. No, I will not unpack that. I have nothing more to say.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my advice for the week. That's also from TikTok. Go look it up.
Oh, follow me on TikTok if you want to hear about my trailer all the time, because that's all I do on there.
Maybe this is something to talk about next week. I want to talk about I've been thinking just a lot about how
I turned on TikTok. I was going to try to find that thing. Keep going.
The thing I was thinking about was how, you know, for you and me who are for lack of a better term, on the influencer, we're in the influencer land, and I just need to be real about that. That's what I'm doing. I'm making social media content, and that is how I make money now. And also I do coaching things. But it's part of the gig, right?
Part of what you do. Right.
I like social media because it had allowed me to connect with people and also gave me a community when I had none. And it's also the place that helped me pay my bills. And it's also a place where I engage with all these other things. And it's also a place where I feel the need to project a certain kind of thing while also trying to be myself. But if I'm only myself and I don't do the thing that works on social media, then I don't get to play and then I don't get to pay my bills. And you see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yep. It's a cycle.
This is what's on my brain. But yeah. If you want to talk about it, tune in next week for the really adventures of Kevin's crazy brain. I love you. My advice stands.
We love you.
We do. And Sarah Louise Jane Heath, you're the best. So until next week, everybody, take your meds, call your person, shake your ass a little bit. Tune in to VH1 RuPaul's Drag Race and tell me what you think about the cisgender heterosexual queen on the show.
Oh, I didn't know there was one. I'm excited. I'll go check that out.
Ooh, bitch. When I tell you, there people are in the fee-fees about it, too.
Ooh, that's the next thing I'm doing right now. We love you.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.